This is Ricey. You've been hearing my friend Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, for years on the radio and Garage Logic podcast. With the new year approaching, I strongly recommend you sit down with Josh for your no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation on your investments, including your IRA and 401k. You can benefit from Josh's years of experience navigating different market and economic conditions, and he'll always give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Give Josh a call now at 952-925-5608 to book your no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation. That's 952-925-5608. You'll be glad that you did, and tell him Ricey sent you. Don't forget to ask, why is it 48 minutes, Josh?
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Ricey is a paid endorser.
You boys ready?
Don't think I won't.
Right.
I have it right here.
Here we go.
I want to lead with Scotty Scheffler.
Okay. I was going to lead with Roman Gabriel.
Okay, that's
we'll get to Roman.
Good. We get to Roman. Scotty Scheffler wins again this morning.
Pat, he's going to win 10 Masters.
Won by three strokes. And he has now won. Here's what I didn't realize. Did you watch this morning? The playoff tour?
Yes.
It was going on. They put up first to 10 wins on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
David Duvall won 10 in his first 33 starts.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger was second with 59.
Mm-hmm.
And now Scotty's second with, 10 and 51 now, I think. 10 and 50. But
four out of the last five.
Four out of the last five. And the other one, he was second.
Yep.
He was second in the other one. And he could have, but he missed him. Did the guy make a bomb on him on 18 or maybe a big putt to beat him?
Why was there so much concern about the wife for the Masters? Well,
yeah,
she still hasn't had the kid yet.
Yeah, the way he's playing, she's going to have to hold that thing in there for about 11 months.
Right.
You know, until he get to that lousy middle of the summer season.
Get down to the John Deere Classic, have the baby.
Honey, they want to give me, now he won't go this week. This will be a good week to have it because nobody will.
Where are we going this week?
Stupid, idiotic New Orleans.
Oh, I hate that tournament.
I hate that thing.
Me
I won't
too.
Watch it. It's stupid.
Or could we do like the one mother wanted to do with the eclipse, where the mother in Texas wanted to have the eclipse move to a
she
weekend?
She told the school. She asked the school, "Can we have the eclipse on the weekend?"
So then what are we gonna? Why did we want that?
Well, she didn't want her kids to miss school.
Yeah.
Or they had a doctor's appointment or something
like that. Yeah, she wanted to know if we could reschedule it to the weekend.
Can we reschedule the eclipse?
Can we say to Ms. Scheffler, can you have the baby on a Monday? You know, can you do the same thing?
She never took that astronomy course. You know, now, I took the astronomy course at TU and did drop it after a quarter because they wanted you to know stuff. But I did know that you can't move the eclipse.
If you dropped a course because they wanted you to know stuff, you'd have to drop them all.
Yeah, but there's basic knowledge. And then with astronomy, there's like... Okay, it's factual.
Did you ever go up and look up the telescope and all that?
I did, yeah. I had one of their great football players had the seat next to me, never saw him. Never saw him, and he passed, and I damn near didn't, you know. He got himself a B, and I got myself a D+ or something.
Was he also majoring in, was it electricity?
That was, what's his name, Hall?
Mark Hall. Electricity.
What are you majoring in, Mark? Electricity.
He died young, you know.
I know.
He died. He was a great player, but he was not, I think they twisted a few arms to get Mark into school. There's no doubt about it. He was, I once wrote a very distasteful column on him that I hope never shows up, though, because kind of making fun of the way he...
Who had him, Dutcher?
Dutch had him.
Yeah.
He had the number one recruiting class in the country.
Yeah.
He had, you not only have Tucker and Dale Mitchell, who led him to the Big Ten title in 82. But he had Leo Routens, the Canadian, who left, and Mark Hall, who flunked out before his senior year. And Mark Hall, in my opinion, was, as a college player, was better than either Tucker or Daryl Mitchell.
Wow. Really?
He was great.
Yeah, he was good. Can we go back to Scotty?
Let's go back to Scotty, yes.
Well, he defies everything you're supposed to do. His feet twirl around when he drives. Or any long shot, his feet leave the ground and does a pirouette. And, he's not much of a putter, is he?
No, he only makes a putt when he has to, you know, when he gets a couple of bad holes. He's not much of a putter. But his, you know, they were talking this morning about he's number one in distance. He's number one in hitting greens. He's number one in saves, you know. And then he's, I think he's chipped in 12 times this year, they said. 12
including
times.
In this tournament.
Yeah, he did for a eagle, right?
I think so.
Chipped in for a three.
He is just, he's on a Tiger roll.
Oh, man, he is. Yeah, Tiger was... I'm sure. I think there was one time when Tiger was had a streak where he was running about 25% victories for a couple of years. So, but out of the chute, there's never been anything like this except Duval. Let's hope the same thing does not have. Have you ever read anything? The complete details of what the hell happened to Duval.
Just that he had a lot of dad problems.
He did? Okay.
Yeah.
Dad hounded him when he didn't win.
Yeah, stuff like that.
He wasn't a real... I know he didn't like all the attention. He didn't like press conferences and stuff like that.
Scheffler seems to be just a really grounded guy.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't... I mean, he doesn't get offended at any questions and, you know... You know what I've noticed?
He's only 27, isn't he?
Yeah. 27, yeah. You know what I've noticed? You don't hear "You the Man" as much this year. What are they doing?
Do
we get
know.
Rid of those? Except in Phoenix, you get the drunken louts. But I don't know. That crowd there, Hilton had it. They basically all own a condo next door, and they come out and watch the golf tournament, and then they come back north.
Right.
You know, after the tournament's over. But it's an amazing run that he's been on. And
I saw this morning, and I thought of Richard Roycey.
Okay, yes.
Roman Gabriel died.
Yep, I saw that, too, last
the number day. Two draft pick. Mm-hmm. The Rams picked him in 1962. Wow. He still holds the Rams team record with 154 touchdown passes.
Wow. Is he...
He was a first. Of course, he didn't know this at the time because firsts weren't important back then. But now we need to know he was the first Filipino-American quarterback.
Okay.
American.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, God, yes, I think so. He was the league MVP in 69. He was 83 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He died peacefully at home of natural causes. You didn't hear much about him after he retired, did you?
He was in some movies, you know, in the early years. They got him a tremendously handsome fella. And he was, I think some of his wives might have had competition or something because he had three or four wives. But
he said he retired with heart problems and arthritis, but happy.
Mm-hmm.
He split time between Wilmington, North Carolina, and Little River, South Carolina.
Wow.
All right. He played at North Carolina State.
He got married at age 20 to Suzanne, because I looked that up, while he was at North Carolina State, right? North Carolina
6'5", 235 pounds.
North Carolina State or North Carolina?
North Carolina State.
Yes. And Suzanne, of course, was the one who had an exchange with my father, and that was the first wife. They got divorced in 71.
Right. And you might want to reflect for listeners what your father did to Roman Gabriel.
All right. The Vikings are having their first really great season. In 68, they went to the playoffs, but they were like 8-6 and got beat by the Colts, the Baltimore Colts back then. And then in 69... We are on the way to a 12-2 record, I believe, wasn't it? 12-2, and the pairings were set up early not necessarily how your record went, but which one of those divisions you were in and you won it, then you knew you were going to play the Coastal or something. Mm-hmm. So when you were in the Central, and the Vikings were going to be the home team. So 2 weeks before the Rams would have been, at least 2 weeks before the season ended, my father, who had a cachet of winterscapes that he took himself, that he clipped out of the paper, the Armistice Day blizzard. Mm-hmm. He was big on the Armistice, like the St. Paul paper used to be. We never let one go by without having a feature on the Armistice Day blizzard. But he started sending Roman Gabriel, Los Angeles Rams, Los Angeles, California, clips of all the
snowfalls.
Yeah. That was trying to alarm Roman as to what weather he would be facing when he got here to play with the Rams. And he used some of his better inventory, which had to hurt him, but he was trying to do everything he could to help.
Better inventory.
He was trying to do everything he could to help the Vikings.
Yes.
He's a good Minnesota sports fan. And my brother and I kept saying, Richard, you got to get more of an address than Roman Gabriel, Los Angeles Rams, Los Angeles, California.
We're getting there.
Because he sent at least 5 or 6 of these missives about every other day for like 2 weeks. And now we beat them, a hell of a game, very close. And then we beat the Browns 27-0, I believe, Jimmy Brown and them, and go to the Super Bowl.
And then
go to 69, 1970 is the game, January 11th, 1970, I believe, in New Orleans, right? In New Orleans,
yes. Against Kansas City.
Yes. And we get beat, and there's a famous photo that ran in every paper around the country of Joe Capp leaving the field, holding his right arm in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And the Vikings have been taking this ass-kicking most of the day. And 4 or 5 days later, Richard gets a note with that picture inside it from Suzanne Gabriel. Mm-hmm. She sends it to the old man with that picture, and it just says, I think Dick Ricey always used on his thing. He was known in Fulda. And what happened to your team, Dick? Something like that. And it was the triumph of my old man's life that Roman Gabriel had received his.
And he must have been taking him home and showing him to the wife.
Right, you did. Yeah, I said,
look what this guy in Minnesota's doing.
Crazy guy from Minnesota.
Look at this snow.
Would that have led to maybe problems in the home, the Gabriel home? Did Richard in some way cause?
All I know is he was an extremely handsome man, legendary handsome man in Los Angeles, California.
Quarterback in the Rams.
In the late 60s, quarterbacking a Rams team that was successful. I see options.
He's got options.
I don't know. I see Chris Rock would describe him as a man without options.
After retiring, Gabriel worked briefly for CBS.
Yes.
He went into coaching with stints at Cal Poly Pomona, the Boston Breakers of the USFL, and Raleigh-Durham in the World League of American Football. He also dabbled in acting. His movie credits include Skidoo, starring Jackie Gleason in 1968. In 1969's The Undefeated, starring John Wayne and Rock Hudson. He appeared in such TV shows as Gilligan's Island, Perry Mason, Ironside, and Wonder Woman. He also joined Bob Hope on a USO tour of Vietnam.
But these guys made no money. I wonder what he did for a living all those years.
Well, he probably made a lot of money just being on those TV shows.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not a lot. I don't know.
Enough, but he must have gotten in. He probably had enough money to invest in something.
Maybe,
right?
Yes. He was also elected to the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989, but is not yet
in the
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
He's not?
No.
Are you on a Wikipedia page by any chance?
I can be.
Well, what is this Filipino stuff?
Here
That's only a modern era thing that we'd have to note. He's the first Filipino American. Was he ever described as a Filipino?
Gabriel was born to Edna Mae Wyatt and Roman Eldonzo Gabriel Sr., a Filipino immigrant.
But where was he born?
In Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yes, okay.
He was American.
Right.
Yes, he was.
He was Gabriel, a United Stateser.
Gabriel grew up poor and suffered from asthma, but he played high school football at New Hanover High School, where he graduated in 1958.
You know, we should have had Joe on as a guest on our show when we were deciding whether a guy qualified as a gay pioneer.
Oh, my God, you're right.
A gay pioneer or not.
Yeah.
If you're a Division III lineman,
that's not,
you're not a pioneer. You're not a gay pioneer.
No, not at
We've
all.
Already had other.
That's right.
We had great, because remember the who was the first
it
guy
It started
to come
with the NBA player,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, the
Collins?
NBA player came. And then guys were rushing out, and all of a sudden, some guy from Sioux City would break a story about a backup lineman from Buena Vista. Just throwing these
not
out.
Not a pioneer.
Not a, screams,
not that's
a
not
story.
A pioneer.
Not a pioneer. Not a story. No, you got to be, you know.
Well, that was wasn't there a linebacker, right?
Greg Louganis. He could have been a gay pioneer.
Gay pioneer.
If he ever would have admitted that he was gay, but, you know, gay, but.
How'd you like the way your Timberwolves played Saturday?
Damn fine.
They never played better as a franchise
in
their history.
In their history, and they did it everywhere. Rudy Gobert set the stage in the first quarter when he got every rebound. And then, you know, neither Mike Connolly never made a shot all day, hardly. And Edwards wasn't good in the first half, but the third quarter he was magnificent.
Why can't they do that three more times?
The other team.
What adjustments can Phoenix make?
Well, I bet the first adjustment they made was to call the NBA office to complain about the physical nature of the games.
Probably.
They're trying to get some refs in here who are going to call more fouls. Because I was actually listening to the Phoenix TV postgame show. I wanted to see what they were saying. And they got Tom Chambers.
How in the hell do you find that?
With our super secret device.
Super secret device, yes. Oh. I found it, but Tom Chambers, who was a really good player for them, and was talking about, he said, when they got their hands on you, you have to drive to the basket to get them to call the foul. Mm-hmm. But the NBA playoffs to this point have been pretty physical, so it's like there's orders from on high. But it will be watch the whistles in the first quarter Tuesday night.
I was listening.
Did you love the byplay between Anthony Edwards and Durant?
Well,
that was a very little charming hunk of professional
because
sports.
Durant has been around forever.
Right.
One of the great
players. He's balding.
Yeah, one of the great playoff players in history.
Right.
He's averaged like 30. But I think everybody finds Ant amusing.
Including Durant.
Yes, he was laughing.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, they're going to be Olympic teammates.
Right.
And it's, but he's, you know, everything he says is a little goofy.
Right.
His, he would not have done well in Laura Limmerman's English class.
No,
his use of verbs and contractions and stuff. I think he's a. I think they also respect the fact that he plays his ass off.
Right.
You know, he's, you know, now.
What was he saying to Durant? You old man now? You old man?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And Durant's just smiling at him.
Yes, right.
Speaking of the Timberwolves game, Joe,
there
I was alerted
is,
to this.
By the way, more of that in the NBA than anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Where they.
Yeah.
Where they appreciate each other's skills, you know.
We can add another thing to the list. Thanks to Girk for pointing this out on Twitter. Ready for the Royce list?
Yes.
I despise whiteouts.
Put that on the list of things I hate.
You mean a snow whiteout?
No, the whiteouts in the stands.
Oh, whiteouts,
They had a whiteout. Oklahoma City had a whiteout.
They had it in Winnipeg last night.
Yeah.
And the announcers were very puzzled.
BS.
Why are they having a whiteout? They're wearing dark uniforms.
Yes. And you can't see the ball. You know, it screws up the TV.
You're okay. Add whiteouts.
Yep,
and
got
all
that
you
in.
Jackasses sitting there wearing your T-shirt. You got a jersey that's worth like $700 on, and now you cover it up with a $2 T-shirt.
Yep. Because it's free.
It's free. What a bunch. So you wanted to be part of the crowd. You know what? The whiteouts never won a game in their life, okay? I hate whiteouts.
What was the... we had a bit. I think it might have been Twins related as far as attendance. Hey, the Twins are having another greenout because there was nobody in the stands. Because
yes, right.
The seats at Target
right
Field
now,
are green.
They're having some greenouts. See? I got a hunch you're going to be able to get a ticket tonight.
What if the White Sox beat them? Which yes. is very possible.
Oh, God, yes. Because the White Sox, I mean, mathematically...
They're already out of it.
This is one of the worst. This is like the third worst start in baseball history.
Yep. Three games.
3-18. Baltimore, well, lost the 21 in a row, you know, was the record. I think they came here and they damn near ended it here, but I think the Twins swept them and then they went someplace and finally won a game. And then they mentioned another one, but I think this is the third worst ever.
Wow.
By the Mighty Whiteys. Not really helping Jerry Reinsdorf's campaign to get a billion-dollar dome stadium in Chicago, I think. But that doesn't mean...
No, the Twins are vulnerable.
They're hitting 188 as a team. Mm-hmm. That's only 7 points below us.
Mm-hmm.
I also did the math, Joe. I did this on Twitter, too.
All right.
If the Twins continue at this pace, if everybody in the Central continues at this pace, the Twins will finish 64 games out of first place.
Wow.
But the Whiteys will finish 98 games out of first place, which would be really difficult.
Well, it can't,
98 games out of first place.
Has that ever happened before?
Not 98.
No.
The Cleveland Spiders... I think were the worst ever. They won like 16.
And then we had the Metzometer.
We had the Metzometer. Yeah. That was back in the day. Yeah, the Metzometer, because that was the 82 team.
The Twins can't continue at this pace because you'll get Lewis back. You'll get Correa back. The worst thing that ever happened to Buxton was he got healthy.
Yes. Here's the. I got to tell you this story. Owen. My neighbor kid, 4 years old.
Yep.
He isn't out in the backyard playing baseball. He's shooting baskets in the front yard. He follows all the teams. He and his mom are driving downtown about 2 months ago. They see a Buxton billboard, and he says, "Hey, there's that guy that's hurt all the time."
Yeah.
He's four. Here's the guy that's hurt all the time.
Well, he's now healthy, and he just strikes out every time.
Yeah, he's then he thinks he hits a home run, and it's not
it. This stood at the plate.
This is the other thing, too, and this isn't just the Twins. I see this throughout all of baseball. Why has it become a thing now where we're okay with watching strike three go right down the middle?
I know.
That drives me insane.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. They're stuck having, for now, they're playing Willie Castro at shortstop. Willie was an okay guy moving all over the field. He's not anything near a major league shortstop. But did you see the news on hot prospect Brooks Lee? The number one draft choice a couple of years ago, had a great spring. Herniated disc.
Oh, good.
They said he had a little back problem. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. Now it's a herniated disc.
You don't come back from that in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you don't. You might end up missing most of a season. The only thing you can say in their defense is the left side of the infield was supposed to be the best thing they had, would have been the best thing they had, and now they have Willie Castro playing short, and either Miranda, who can get a hit maybe, and Kyle Farmer, who's 3-for-38 at third base. And why they signed Carlos Santana, I have no idea.
I can't believe how bad he's been.
I mean, he just got his first hit at Target Field, though, the other day. So that
you ever listen to Gladden after the show?
Once in a while.
I caught the post game yesterday after the show.
How was the Dazzle Man?
I like the Dazzle Man because I don't think he gives a bleep.
No, he's...
He'll tell you what he's thinking.
Yes.
And he was beside himself... with good. Anger
okay.
that Varland appeared to be pitching a game that someone handed him and told him, this is how you're going to pitch today. Mm-hmm. And told him what to do rather than Varland going out there and just pitching.
Just throwing, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he was very upset.
They wanted him to have a game plan.
And somebody gave him a game plan, and he didn't like it.
His game plan today is he's back in St. Paul.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's what Gladden predicted he'd be in St. Paul.
Yeah, they sent him out. But that's good because he is, well, Gladdy, you know, is cut back to 100 games. And he's only going on 3 road trips, so he really doesn't give a damn.
Yeah. But he never, so he's got all the home games?
He never did. You know, he's got all the home games and then some road games. And, you know,
once remember when Baltimore fired their announcers? Was it last year?
Oh, yeah, for being critical.
Yeah. Well, Gladden wasn't the last one game.
No, they brought him back then, right?
Yeah, because of public outcry.
Yeah, because it was so stupid. Yeah. And it... Well, they never said anything. No, I miss Gladys postgame, but I once in a while talk to him and can hear it not over the air. He's not impressed, that's for sure. But he's got 3 grandkids now. He wants to be a granddad, and he's, you know, get him out of the farm, get him working. Mm-hmm.
Cheap labor.
Those kids, and he's down to 100 games a year. And with Chris Atterbury as his partner, he doesn't have to talk much either.
No.
Man,
Chris can talk.
Oh, God, can he talk. The highlight of Chris.
I learned the other day of 2 major leaguers who were in a Lego championship.
Yeah.
I didn't want to know that.
No. That. And by the way, he was fantastic when he did the postgame shows because he had all these tidbits and stuff. But
and a rain delay. He could fill time on a rain delay.
He could fill time on a rain
delay. I learned one guy made a big jet plane out of Legos. The other guy made a house or something.
Now, here was the highlight, though, and I missed it, but Judley told me about this. He's got Molitor in the booth, right? Molitor's always
on the last road trip.
Always good. Got to say like 75 words in 9 innings. And he starts telling a yarn about the 1983 Orioles and Brewers. Atterbury starts telling it.
Oh.
About the 1982 Orioles and Brewers famous series when they came to town for the last 4 games and Milwaukee only had to win 1. Mm-hmm. That's when Earl came out on the dugout and spelled out Orioles, and Milwaukee lost the first 3. They were tied, and then Milwaukee won. And he's telling this yarn, and he's got Paul Molitor next to him, who was the leadoff hitter, and then had 20 hits in the World Series. bring him in there for a little bit of the insight.
Paul,
there,
your thoughts.
Did Paul get a word in on that story?
I did not hear it, but Judd said very few.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, because Paul probably remembers that.
Didn't Milwaukee win the series that year, or St. Louis did?
No,
they lost to the Birds.
They lost to the Birds, that's right.
They lost to
Jim Cott was on that Birds team. Wasn't that his last year?
Yes, he was.
Yep, that was Cott's last year.
And Molitor set a major league record for hits in a series, didn't he?
I was in a cab in St. Louis that got tipped over.
In the celebration?
Yeah, in the celebration.
Wow.
Well, it didn't hurt anything. It just kind of went on its side and flipped back over.
Wow. Yeah. Man alive.
The people were excited in downtown St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. That's
82?
A baseball
Why
town.
Why didn't you go to dinner with Wicker and I?
Were you?
We went to Stan and Biggie's, and that's the night Stan was in there entertaining the crowd, bleep-faced.
Yep.
And Al Hurt was in there with him, and they played the harmonica, and Al played his deal. And they got in there, and then Amuso got up and talked to the crowd, and everybody was there, but he forgot his punchline. He forgot, because he'd had a few
guys. Look him in the eye.
Yeah, look him in the eye.
Shake their hand.
And there's another one.
There's another one.
3 things.
Always remember their name.
Yeah, right. That was Wicker and I, we got into Stan and Biggie's, which was a very mediocre restaurant, but they did well on the night before the World Series started, that's for sure. So.
Do we have to pause today?
We do. I need to hear from Patrick and our fine friends at the Valley Group.
I think I'm out of my back pocket here.
And I'm looking this up, Patrick, while you get that. Molitor had 5 hits. That's the most in a single game.
In a single game.
But there are several players that have had 13 hits in an entire series.
How about the World Series? How many did he get? Oh, he had 5 in the first World Series game.
Correct. Yep.
These are my boys at the Valley Group of GM dealers, Apple Valley and Hastings, Jim Paul and his son, Brett Paul. And this is what Jim has to say. The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain, chip issues, that caused extreme inventory shortages that led to some dealers charging thousands of dollars over manufacturers' suggested retail. They never did that at Jim Paul's establishments in Hastings and Apple Valley. And they knew that it would leave a bad taste in customers' mouths. And more importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong. Well, guess what? We're back on our feet here as far as supply is concerned. The best inventory in years, really all the Buick and GMC models, even the Yukons, the heavy-duty pickups, and the Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts with manufacturers' rebates and low-interest financing. 0.9, 1.9, for goodness sake. It's a great time to go back to Jim Paul's and buy a new car or one of the many used cars out there. Anyway, the Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings, or the valleycardealers.com. Go to the website and you can check out the supply of cars that they have there, that it's fantastic. 120 on a lot in Apple Valley. This is car buying without the bad aftertaste, Jim Paul says.
You know what it is, Joe? It's draft week.
Oh, yeah.
Christ.
Yeah. Are we on right now?
We are, Joe. Welcome back.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Joe, Mark Craig from our paper, I don't know if you saw Sunday's paper, had a wonderful Mark Craig had a wonderful piece Sunday on the history of draft, mock draft.
I didn't see it.
And how this all started with this screwy little guy from New York, Joel Buxbaum. Remember him? Did you ever meet him?
No.
He never left his apartment, and he was the strangest.
Well, how could
dude.
I meet him then?
Well, because he was, indeed, you might not have met him, but he was a. But he started doing this when he was like 18. He was weighed about 100 pounds because he never ate. All he did was just look at, and he started it, and Belichick and guys like this embraced him when they were real young coaches.
Sure.
Because he knew more about college football players than they did. And then, of course, Mel Kiper was 18 when he started, too. And, Joe and I go back to the time they basically held a draft, and then when it was over, they told you who they picked.
Yeah.
You know, it was not a big deal.
Where is it this year? Is it
Detroit?
I mean, is it a big convention? And
God, it'll be
just got ejected.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be there
from game.
Radio Row. Radio Row. They now have Radio Row at the draft.
But the bestest when they
and we're bidding like hell. We're trying to get the draft.
We got to go get our guy.
Yeah.
We're trying to get it
here in the Twin Cities.
But you know, my favorite is when they get the crowd shots, and you got the guy in the lion garb, and he's all face painted up, ready for that announcement of pick 28 or
and
whatever.
They traded
they got.
It. I like that when they traded.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
I think that Timberwolves are going to turn this into a basketball town.
You think so?
Yep.
Well, they're on
the Vikings don't have a great future right now.
But you'll never top football, for goodness sakes. People are nuts. You know.
Are they going to draft the kid from Michigan State?
Michigan.
If he's available, yeah.
Ryan, is that his name?
They're going to trap McCarthy.
I was an Irish kid from Michigan. I didn't know which school, but I was close.
They really
McCarthy.
I think they'd really like to get Drake May, but they have to go all the way to third to get him in New England. According to New England guys like Mike Reese, who's been around forever, it would have to be a historic package of players in order to get.
When is it this week?
Thursday.
You know how we do her now? You might have missed this.
I might have.
Fighting chance.
There is a chance.
First round only.
Okay.
Thursday, first round only. We used to get two rounds. Right?
Yep.
And then Friday, second and third round, which at this moment won't occupy the Vikings because they have neither a second or a third rounder. And then Saturday, you do the rest of
them. Oh, boy.
So they turned it into a three-day orgy instead of a two-day orgy.
Where do the locals go to watch this? Where's the party?
Oh, Reddit. You mean the Miller Lite draft party at U.S. Bank Stadium?
Oh, it's at the Bank Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Well, by the way, you can go watch it with our daily Purple Daily crew at the Fillmore.
How about that?
And they got her sold out, the Fillmore downtown. We got the Purple Daily guys got like 500 people showing up for their drafts.
So. What do you do? Because
you cheer when you got your
because there's a lot of time between the.
Yeah. What do you do?
What do you do?
Well, if we're getting a little cut of the alcohol, then I would say that's what you
sure.
do, right?
I do recall, you know, back in our booming days of being the home of sports talk, 1500 ESPN, I remember sitting in a promotions meeting in which it was brought up, you know, I wonder if Joe and Pat would do a draft show. And I said, hi, can I be in the room when you guys ask Joe and Pat to do this?
Yes,
I'd love.
Well, those guys.
Not going to happen.
They have a show about the Vikings 5 days a week, all year round.
It does well.
It does extremely well.
Yeah. Football.
I don't know. What is the Fillmore is just kind of a
it's a neat
party.
Place.
Is that owned
like
by
a new modern First Avenue, right?
Yes, yeah.
It's very cool. Is that affiliated with the Fillmore in San Francisco?
I don't know.
I mean, you just can't take that name. The Fillmore you got a lot of, you got to have a Fillmore license or something to use that name.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
I think it might be.
I haven't been there. I've seen it there.
Where is it?
It's right on that block in the North that Loop. Has the new restaurants and stuff. So,
is it a nightclub?
You went to that steakhouse in Minneapolis, right? The new one? What's the name of it? Been there a year or so, a year and a half.
New steakhouse.
I have not.
You did not.
Is that the one where they bring you a lot of meat?
They don't bring you
the Brazilian thing.
Yeah, no. That thing's downtown. This is a high end steak joint, right on First Avenue. Then and you got a, what's the name of it? I don't know. But the good news is, I went there and my brother in law picked up the check.
Really?
So that was.
I just went to a high end place that's in a hotel.
Oh, that was for Four Seasons. Yes, the Four Seasons.
Very good restaurant.
You like
the restaurant's independent of the hotel, but it's in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Was it
nice
Four Seasons?
Hotel. I think it's the Four Seasons right there. Well,
I'm looking for your place on First Ave, Patrick, and I'm not picturing it here off the top of my head.
Hey, you mark my words. I bet that's affiliated with Fillmore West and East.
It could be.
Okay.
Is it a music venue?
Yes.
Yes, it's
I bet you that's part of the Fillmore deal.
All right. Well, I think we could get in if you want to go.
To the draft party?
Yeah.
I can't.
You should wear can wear your hat that's got the cup holder with the two straws.
Yeah. You got your purple, you got a thing then?
No, I'd go white out. Yeah. Did you see the crowd shots last night of outside the stadium in Winnipeg?
Yes.
Their hockey team.
Yeah, but 6 weeks ago they were complaining about lousy attendance and they might have to move the franchise.
Oh. You're kidding.
Because of prices.
Well, because I was there.
Winnipeg's a small market, and their attendance was like, they had some games where
they got the smallest rink in the league.
They only had about 10 or 11,000 sometimes because the prices are so.
But I'll say that, because I was there the night the Wilds lost to them, whatever year that was, game five, and I thought the city was going to burn to the ground. They were partying like mad.
Yeah, I know, and they still have incredible interest.
Yeah.
But they don't have the money to go to games.
What do you think of the Phoenix going to Utah?
For $1 billion.
Yeah.
By the guy who owns the Jazz.
Right.
And owns a big hunk of the soccer team.
Yep.
So this guy's, apparently they're going nuts buying tickets.
Well, they're
going
to have a real rink.
Those Mormons like their hockey, I guess.
Well, when I drove through there coming back from Arizona, I cannot believe how big that area is.
So if you're a Mormon, do you take one of your wives to the hockey game and the other one to the basketball game?
Ooh, that's a good point.
You could. Or you could take them all to the same game.
Yeah, that's good.
Wait a minute. So they're not going to play at the same arena the Jazz are? Oh, I thought you.
But Delta I said Center. They're getting finally going to have a real rink.
Oh,
they're
I'm
playing
sorry.
In a
okay.
college
yeah,
rink
you're right,
now.
You're right.
Yeah, they are.
Gotcha.
But they've promised the guy from Phoenix I wonder if the NBA got a hunk of the billion, because they promised the guy from the NHL, if they got a hunk of the billion, because they promised the guy in Phoenix that if he gets a new arena built in 5 years, mm-hmm. then he can have a team. But they'll have to pay through the nose.
Well, right? How many teams are in the NHL right now?
32.
Well, then
they're
30,
talking expansion.
Well,
again.
You can't go 33. There'd have to be 34.
Yeah, there'd have to be 34, but then you're going to have to divide it up. Did you know what mathematical thing occurred this year, though? Every division got four teams in the playoffs because all the wild cards came out of the division in which, because usually it was three out of each division, and then the next two best conference teams. I think it's the first time. Also, did you notice this? Over the weekend, the all the NBA home teams won the first round, and all the NHL, they were 14-0.
Wow.
Which is a lot harder to accomplish in hockey than it is
Toronto
in basketball.
Got a chance to beat Boston?
Didn't look good starting.
I don't think so.
Because this is the year. Boston, you know, puked on itself last year. When Tampa had their great team.
Didn't Florida beat them?
They got
Florida
beat right
was
away.
Down 3-0 to somebody and won. Wasn't that Boston?
Could have been. I thought they got beat right out of the bat. But it's weird because Tampa Bay, their best team ever, got beat, swept in the first round and then won two in a row. And Boston, Boston had the big failure last year, so they're my pick to win it because they, you know.
They flopped.
Not as much pressure.
Well,
we'll find out in only in a mere 2 months.
Well, that's probably shorter than the NBA. Why does the NBA do this?
Do we spread them out?
Yeah. It's driving people crazy.
Yes. And they said originally when they first went to this system where they put them all on TV and didn't want them to compete against each other. We're going to take a hard look at it. That's about 10 years ago, and they haven't changed anything. You still get days off, you know.
Well, even if the Wolves Suns go 7, won't it be 2 full weeks?
It'll be in May.
Yeah, well, they play Tuesday, and then they play Friday. Then they play Sunday in Phoenix, and then they play, like, Wednesday again. It's
wow.
It goes on forever. So.
How many games do you have to win an NBA title?
16, just
same
like
as
the
hockey.
NHL.
Same as 16. Hockey.
16, that's a grind.
It really
that
is.
That is a grind. But anyway, I know it's draft week, and I know we got the Wild. We don't have the Wild. We got
Wolves.
The Wolves in the playoffs. But how can you? I'm going to be there tonight to see the Twins and the Mighty Whiteys to solve the dilemma. Which one of these teams is the most horse poop? We will be able to, in the next 4 days, we will make
Will
that
this
decision.
Be an early see in Fort Myers?
They lose tonight. I might declare, see you in Fort Myers, even though I have no plans to be there next year. You know. All righty. Is that enough?
That's enough.
Good enough.
That's
I thought
enough.
We were pretty damn good.
I think so.
Patrick Ricey here with the Canopy Group Facts. Fact one, the Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than an agent who represents one company writes in 3 years. How is this possible? We'll give you the other facts to understand why. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies that leave you at risk for 2 premium increases annually. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers 1 deductible at claim time, not 2, 3, 4, or even more. Fact five, the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies each and every year. Captive insurance agencies can't shop for you because they only have one company. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get your options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.